I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
Wait, what is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sterney's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ooh, you want to talk about getting good and turned on? It's Tape Drop Tuesday, y'all, and the Texans got a win and played some solid football now. Tyler, one more time, T, come on.
Boner alert.
Yes, indeed, absolutely. Before we get to that Tape Drop Tuesday, I do want to remind everybody out there to download the Audacy app, AUDACY. Take us everywhere you go. Keep us on your hip. You can dial us up at any point in time. Breaking news or just because you want to. The Audacy app is right there at your fingertips and always keeps you locked in to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. Now, also, I want to encourage everybody to make sure you're locked into The Drive. Tomorrow afternoon, we will have D'Amico Rines and C.J. Stroud pressers in full as they meet with the media on every Wednesday. We will play those in full here for you on The Drive. So stay plugged in. We got you. The Audacy app, AUDACY. As I said, it's Tape Drop Tuesday, and it was a solid tape to watch if you're a Houston Texans fan. The Texans offense on Sunday, I know they exploded in the fourth quarter. I know they scored 20 points in the fourth quarter, but it wasn't all about the fourth quarter when we're talking about this Texans offense. Scoring is all that matters. I completely agree there. But as I watched this film, Ron, it was very obvious that there were opportunities to score touchdowns, not field goals. There were opportunities to score in the first half. And the Texans just didn't quite link up. One of them was a missed pass that I thought Dalton Schultz or the outside receiver, which I think was Higgins, either one of them, you could have made a better throw. You landed in the middle, you could have made a better throw to either one of them, and you got six there. There was another play where Nick Kaley draws up a Dalton Schultz shoot route. He kind of clears it out, kind of a delayed shoot route up the top of the numbers. And had C.J. Stroud gotten to him, whether it was pre-snap or in the progression, either way, it was a monster play, a big-time explosive, if not a touchdown. So there were opportunities. I want to make sure that everybody understands that it wasn't as putrid for three quarters as everybody makes it out to be. There were opportunities to score more than 6 points. One, we know we missed a field goal, but two, there were some points left on the field by the offense that Nick Kaley dialed up, that the guys executed. The quarterback just either missed with the throw or the quarterback didn't get to it in the progression, which I'm okay with. CJ's going to miss from time to time. He's going to hit more than he misses, I'm cool with. And you're not always going to see every single throw in the ocean that busts wide open on a defense. I hope you see more than you miss, but you're not going to see them all. But I do want to emphasize this was not just about a fourth quarter, that you can look at things throughout this game and feel pretty good about what the Houston Texans put on the field against the Tennessee Titans. Now, it was the Titans. They are the worst, one of, if not the worst team in football. And I believe their coach gets fired this year, and I believe that they're already on their way to quitting on their coach. I got one question about Tennessee is do they let it go on long enough that they ruin their quarterback, Cam Ward? That's how bad and dysfunctional it is.
You think it needs to be?
Yeah, it's done. Their quarterback's calling everybody out in post-game pressers, which I have no problem with, by the way. I think he did it in a professional manner. I even like the fact that he cussed a few times in there. You're getting the real, authentic Cam Ward, and I think it's a Cam Ward that if your leadership of the Titans, I think you like what you have in your quarterback. You just got to get the pieces around him right. But nonetheless, this was not about 6 points in the first three quarters, 20 in the last. In my opinion, there was opportunity to get points on the board earlier in that game and more often in that game, and the tape showed that. Now, when we get to the tape, I like to get a little bit more specific than just kind of generalities and overalls. And I got to start today, overalls being overall everything, not the overalls that Tyler's kinfolk wear on weekends.
Some Dickies?
Yeah, not them Dickies, Chief. But to get down to it, I've been really critical about one guy. I've been really critical about one player. I mean, all the players, but I've been overly critical maybe about one guy, and it's 86. It's Dalton Schultz. And I got to tip my cap to the tight end, Dalton Schultz, man. He earned every bit of that $12 million this week. And I'll be honest with you, this and C.J. Stroud, but this is one that gives me a lot of hope, Ron. I mean, if you just look at Dalton Schultz's game in a nutshell, he made himself available in all the underneath the quick routes, made himself available to the quarterback. He was the quarterback security blanket. He was always there for the quarterback. Five receptions, six targets. Didn't have a ton of yards. I think he had 30-something yards. Not a ton of yards, but a integral part of this offense clicking the way it needs to click is the tight end making himself available. I beat the dead horse of screens and quick game and using your tight end and getting the ball out quick to protect your offensive line. Dalton Schultz getting catches early on in games is absolutely critical. He made himself available, and look, he accomplished what you expect your $12 million a year tight end to accomplish. When the ball's thrown your way, you catch it. Create a little bit of separation, make yourself available, and catch it. He did that, right? As I mentioned, there was one shot on a little shoot route as well as the fake screen where he's running up the seam that CJ misses. He was available in the shot game. He should have had about six or seven catches for 70 or 80 yards, if we're being honest, if we're just evaluating Dalton Schultz's play here. The two shots were there, and he executed them cleanly. Just one of them didn't get the ball. One of them was overthrown. And the best part of Dalton Schultz's game on film, Ron, this looked like a different dude in number 86. The blocking.
Hold on now.
I'm telling you, man, the blocking from 86 was really impressive. The want to was there. I'm not saying he didn't make a couple mistakes. I'm not saying that he didn't miss his guy a couple times. He did. Hell, they all do. But when he got his mitts on the right guy and he got his feet underneath him, he was driving, folks. He was finishing. He was straining. He was literally looking like he was taking pride in getting his guy and making sure the guy that he is responsible for in the pass protection or in the run game did not make the play. And this is the Dalton Schultz that you paid $12 million to. This is the Dalton Schultz that you need to show up every Sunday. This is the Dalton Schultz that if Nick Caley's offense is going to take in Houston, this is the guy that you got to get every single Sunday. It can't be the 2024 version of Dalton Schultz. It's got to be this guy that seems locked in. Yes, he's doing his job in the pass game. He's available underneath as well as a couple of times down the field. But then in the blocking department, run game and pass game, he's got to be a dude that at least wants it. He's got to be a willing and capable blocker. He's got to be a guy that is willing to finish and strain. You need that from Dalton Schultz. All the injuries at the tight end position, he's got to play extended minutes. There's no more of, hey, let's put him in on third down and let's sub him out because this is happening or that's happening. He's got to be the guy that gets in there and can play in all situations, on all down and distances, in all personnels. Dalton Schultz has to be on the field, and this is the version that you get that you paid $12 million and you're happy you did it.
You think there's any correlation with, hey.
Yes.
I'm getting open. You're feeding me the ball. I'm a part of the game plan. And then, all right, now I'm in the game. and all the other stuff
yep.
that is supposed to be a part of my 100%. Job, like blocking. I'm not over here pissed because I've been open each time. And you think there is any connection with him being a part of the game plan, him getting the ball when he's open, to then him blocking and showing physicality?
100%. We've said this before. If I were Dalton Schultz last year at times, I would be grabbing CJ's face mask going, hey, man, throw me the ball. I'm wide ass open, man. Quit hanging on these guys downfield. But that's not Dalton's, that's not in his DNA. His DNA is more of a, oh, shucks, what the hell, I'll just get back in the huddle and kind of go through the motions, right? He's not a yeller, he's not a screamer, he's not a checking, he's not going to check folks, he's not going to put his foot on folks' throat. And I think it's no coincidence, Ron, to your point, I knew that's exactly where you were going. I don't think there's any coincidence that you get him involved early in the game. It's human nature. There's more players like that than are not. You get them involved early in the game, then they're more willing to not tap their hat and come out of the game. They're more willing to get dirty on the run game. I know some folks ain't going to like it, but that's the reality of it. That's the nature of the beast, especially when you get veteran players that feel a little bit entitled, that have already made a little bit of money, that have had success, and they're not getting the ball. They're viewed as an afterthought. I don't think it's wild to think that they probably check out on some of the more physical things. You get them the ball early like they did here, make them a part of the offense, get them involved, then they're willing to put some of the physicality back on the line. And I think that happened with Dalton Schultz. Either way it goes, this was a version of the tight end that you paid $12 million to, and this is the version of Dalton Schultz that all of us fans hoped we got. I'm telling you, it was good. It was something you can win with, and hopefully it's something that transitions. Secondly, C.J. Stroud, Ron, really, 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 really good. He did what I've been asking him to do really since his rookie year. Since we saw him do it his rookie year, I said that was it. And to put it all in a nutshell, to sum it all up, it is you've got to work low to high on more stuff than what he was willing to do last year. You got to make your reads low to high. If Dalton Schultz is there underneath, give it to him. If Nick Chubb is open out wide on a little hitch in an empty backfield, give it to him, right? You got to do those things, and it was clear he was committed to doing those things on Sunday, and it was even more beautiful on film to watch it unfold. The shots that they were able to hit down the field, one he missed from a read perspective, one he missed on Dalton Schultz on the doubles on the fake screen, and then two that he hit with Nico Collins on the go route and Higgins on the seam route or the slot fade, whatever you want to call it. Those were a product of C.J. Stroud committing to taking all the underneath stuff early. Take it, take it, take it, take it. Bait them down when they get their eyes in the backfield, when they think they can undercut a route or jump a route, all of a sudden, boom, you're faking the screen and you got a tight end busting up the seam, right? You got a slot fade where the outside corner should probably hang off and block this and help the slot defender. He jumps the hitch outside, so you got to throw in the ocean on the fade to Higgins. It's all setting stuff up, and it was really, really good. And by the way, for everybody out there that doesn't think that C.J. Stroud checked on the touchdown to Higgins, he absolutely checked. He let the motion go, which I believe was Xavier Hutchinson. He let it go from right to left. He looked over at Higgins. He looks like he chopped his ribs a little bit right there, which obviously was the slot fade signal. And it ended up being a touchdown. I think Stroud was really good. He was even better on film. And I think when you look at it, the byproduct or the end game, if you will, of playing the quarterback position this way, right? There's several of them. One, when you do dial up the shots, they are throwing the ocean obvious shots. They're there because you've set them up, right? Number two, as you're taking the quick stuff throughout a game, you're protecting your offensive line. You're not letting your offensive line get absolutely destroyed, right? Everybody's not questioning their protection today. Why? Because C.J. Stroud changed his brand of quarterback, right? And then thirdly, a byproduct of playing the quarterback position like that is you don't get hit. You don't spend time. Look, I think it's cute when C.J. Stroud runs for a first down on third and 11.
Well, you say cute.
I just think it's cute. But guess what? I really like is when he throws a ball on third and two for about a 5-yard gain and his hamstrings aren't strained.
Right? God bless, brother.
He's not pushed on the sideline where he can roll an ankle, or he's not tackled where he can land on a shoulder, or he's not fading backwards trying to escape and gets hit for a 12-yard loss on a sack. Right? Those kind of things you as a quarterback can eliminate from the game film, and I think C.J. Stroud did that. Now, He did it against the Titans. I do think it's important to emphasize that. It was the Titans. They are absolutely awful, with the exception of a couple of players. They are absolutely awful as a team. And does it transition to Baltimore, a better team, a healthier organization on the road? Does it transition? Does it? We'll see.
But I think it's also fair to say, and I think we've seen this happen to him, especially young quarterbacks, but we've seen it happen to him in the last year plus is, you could see there's a point where he'd have been like, man, F this, man. I ain't sticking. We got to make some plays. I got to push it down the field. I got to hold it a little longer to see if something develops. Because you're sitting there, it's 6-0. 6-0.
Yeah.
Another drive, 6-0. We had a punt, 6-0. Third quarter, 6-0. Like, but he stuck with, all right, this is the game plan. And eventually it will come up. He didn't get frustrated and just say, to hell with it, man. I ain't going to take what they give me.
Well, you hope what I'm doing right now is you hope is what's going on in real time with Gerard Johnson on the sideline, right? Is, yeah, we're watching and it's 6-0. But hopefully it's been communicated to CJ Stroud of, hey, man, we missed a field goal. And then, by the way, right here, check it out. Now, you worked to the left side of the field. And that's fine, whatever. But look what went on over here to the right side of the field on this shoot route with Dalton Schultz, right? Yep. I'm only telling you so that you stay confident and you stay locked in and you realize we left points on the field right here. We could have extended this drive and got an explosive play right here. All right? So we keep on rocking and rolling. Boom, we go through the game. It's 6-0 to us. We're all going, what the hell's happening? Well, I'm going to bring CJ straight over here to the sideline and go, hey, CJ, on this fake screen that we threw right here, I'm not real sure why Dalton Schultz slightly bent it in, and I don't know why you threw it between the two, but I do want you to know that we're dialing up some good things and there's opportunities to score points right there. We're leaving. Like, in those two plays alone, you left 10 points on the field, right? So you're looking at you're looking at 16 in through three quarters and then a 20-point fourth quarter. Now we're talking about blowing the top off the scoreboard. Now we're doing what you should be doing against the Titans. Now we're really getting rolling instead of struggling. Like, I hope that Gerard Johnson is doing, which I'm sure he is, I hope that he's doing those things on the sideline to encourage C.J. Stroud that, hey, man, what we're doing, the game plan's good, man. What we got dialed up is really good. Just stick in there. It's 6-0. Our defense is controlling the game. We're going to pop a couple here in a minute. We're going to separate, and we're going to be celebrating the W in the locker room. Like, that's my overall point on a tape drop Tuesday of saying you literally throughout that game could show your quarterback opportunities that were missed to score points. And I don't say it to point it out and say, CJ, what are you doing? You missed this. I say it to point out, hey, CJ, what we're doing is going to work. What we're doing is creating opportunities here, and don't get discouraged. Just keep your head up, keep rolling. We're gonna break through eventually. And they did in the fourth quarter. Again, it was Tennessee. We'll see if they can carry it on the road. We'll see if this is actually C.J. Stroud and this offense breaking through, or was it just they beat up on a piss-poor opponent. Are they really breaking through? Are they really hitting stride? Are they really starting to see some things through the same lens, Nick Caley and C.J. Stroud? We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully there's not a let me revert back. And I thought that was something important to see. Like, yeah, it wasn't going great probably the way they wanted it. He probably missed some throws. But he stayed with, here, there's Woody, let me get the quick. Here, there's Dalton, let me get the
It's the classic run of does C.J.
And he took
Stroud,
the shots when he had to take
them. Does C.J. Stroud go back to, I feel like I got to do more so we can win a game, or does he trust and just chip away?
Yeah. All right, Kevin Durant, as they had media day yesterday, he spoke about a couple of his teammates, and I may let this get away from me in the next segment. I have some real belief. I'm right there with you, KD. We'll discuss that.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Coming up next.
Hughley has came in the game.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Coming up at the bottom of the 4 o'clock hour, even though Tyler is refusing to watch any type of baseball, he says.
I'll check box scores.
He is going to have best bets, and he wants to move them up earlier because the start of some of the games that he has best bets on. So even though he's not watching any of it, you should trust him. Coming up a little bit later on.
Al Davis.
He was rolling here. He was rolling. He got three of five yesterday, and unbelievably, the one he didn't get was, I'm assuming you lost $100 too.
Yeah, a little more. There's some juice.
100 plus a Durant.
Yeah, there's some juice on it.
Yeah, that's
it was thought to be a throw in the ocean, and it didn't happen. They tried though. Young fella tried.
Did he? Good God, man.
Well, Jake Browning, yeah. He threw it his way. He just covered most of the time.
Yeah. And where he was on his back.
Yeah, it was not pretty. I mean, taking the over and catches for a receiver with a backup quarterback, I don't know if that was a great idea.
He can't play dead in a horror movie.
Well, I don't know, but he got 16 targets and 14 receptions the first time they played.
Yeah, no.
And one argument with his OC.
Yeah.
Or head coach, who was it?
Yeah, he was high.
I mean, it wasn't from a lack of effort.
Zach's on his way out. By the way, that's a scary group. They get the right coach in there. That Bengals team. And they get the right guy. Like if they find themselves a Harbaugh or something like that. That'll be an interesting job.
Yeah,
I think it'll come open, right? I don't think Zach's going to get after this year. Although they may set up a Joe got hurt.
I mean, you look at that. I mean, if you are management in Cincinnati, you're firing the only team to, well, I guess not now, but the only team to knock off the Bengals. I mean, the Chiefs during their dynasty. You're talking about a team that last year lost five games and scored 30 or more points. He's an offensive-minded coach that has not been able to figure out the defensive side of the ball.
Except for when Lou was there for a run.
And they made a run to a Super Bowl with that. So, yeah, I think it's a little more
– I don't know. It just seemed like it's been a minute, man. And
I agree.
And it ran its course,
maybe.
And they have weird starts, oddly enough, except for this year when they got to 2-0 and – I don't know. They seem like they don't have it together all the time. They say, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. It just feels like Zach may be out of this thing. I don't know. We'll see. But T Mills,
who's the hot OC? Kingsbury? Joe Brady was his OC at LSU. Yeah.
I don't know who is the hot OC. I guess that's it.
I mean, I got to believe if they were to move on from him, Joe Brady would be in the conversation. Isn't he the OC in Buffalo right now?
Yeah, he's the Buffalo. Yeah. Yeah, they kind of soured on him after the Panthers.
Yeah, there, that little stint. But I got to think that Joe and Jamar.
Matt Kafka was hot there for a second. I don't know if that's still the case. I don't think Todd Monken is. He refuses to give the ball to Derrick Henry.
Well, I think it would have to be the fit for Burrow, right?
Yeah.
And so it would have to start with Joe Brady. I mean, unless Burrow just hates a guy.
Or somebody else in that system tree that may I think Brian Callahan's talked himself out of that. I don't know. We'll see. Don't know who's out there with the Rams or with the Niners or if LaFleur has somebody over there. But, you know, in those systems you can think of. I don't know. All right. It was media day yesterday with the Rockets, and Kevin Durant spoke about a few things, but he spoke about his two teammates, and they were taking the photos yesterday of what feels like the Rockets' new big three, the Şengün and Amen Thompson and himself. This was Durant on his thoughts of his two new teammates.
Just unique set skill sets, body types that I haven't played with before. Amen being just a do everything, 6'7", athletic, just like a freak of nature. I don't think we ever seen that type of athleticism, the way he uses his athleticism. I don't think we have seen that in our league. So to be alongside that, I'm excited for. And then Şengün, I play with some bigs that are great at what they do. Great role playing bigs that can guard in the post, but could set great screens, that can finish over the rim, that can block shots. But I think, you know, Alpi could pretty much do all of that, a little bit of all of that, and also handle the ball like a guard out on the perimeter. So,
hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
I am really getting bullish on him.
Ooh, you feel the blood?
Are you? Yeah. Yeah, I am. I've tried to kind of keep it to myself a little bit where I am. Like, I think I was really impressed with the step he took from year one to year two. Honest to God, I think he has already reached the point on this team, and Kevin Durant is on it, and Şengün is on it. Both of them are all-stars. I think he has reached the point where he's already the Draymond of this team. And I don't mean an asshat, but I mean that he is...
Doesn't punch nuts, yeah.
He is clearly got to be arguably the most irreplaceable person on the team, because I think he impacts the most more than anybody on the team.
I feel like cozy.
Right, like Steph Curry is their best player. Klay was, you know, their other best scorer. But Draymond was their best passer, by far their best defender, and he was so unique in the way he defended, it changed how they could play things. I think Amen Thompson brings that too. I think he's their best driver. Hell, right now he might be their best point guard option. And I think he could score it more. He jumped up into the mid-teens points per game. I think Amen Thompson has all NBA type of potential. And I'm talking this year. We already know he is thought to be arguably the best all-around defender in the game. And I'm looking at this third team all-NBA this past year. These are some good players. Cade Cunningham, Halliburton, he's going to be gone all year. Harden, Karl Anthony Towns, Jalen Williams with OKC. I think Amen Thompson can play to make a jump to that level with especially the parts around him. He may not show up to like 25 a game or something like that, because that's not his complete game. But it feels like we're looking at a 18 and 9 or 10 and just lockdown defender with, you know, 5 assists type of game type of thing. yes, his shooting is a problem, and I think he's – I bet he's put a lot of work in there. If you can see the jump that he made from year one to year two in his game, clearly this is a cat that works on his game. I think he has a chance to be the all-around best player on this team and an all-NBA type player. I know I'm being aggressive on Amen Thompson, but I am really bullish on what he could do this year.
I just hope you're right. I think there's two things that are gonna stand in his way. I think number one, you mentioned the shooting. When I watch him, I just don't see a guy that's – I mean, he's got a long way to go from a shooting perspective, I think, to be considered an all-NBA type of player. And the other thing, I think there's going to be at least a three-headed monster here with Durant and Şengün. Is the opportunity going to present itself? You know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but those guys are going to see the ball in clutch time and throughout a game, I think, a lot. Is there enough ball to go around for him to make that kind of jump?
Yeah, obviously the scoring is not the best thing that he does.
Right.
But I think it's coming up. I mean, what did he average last year, Tyler? 15 a game? I think he got up to like 15 and near 10 a game. I think there's a jump with that because I think the spacing's going to be better for him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's plenty of guys that we've watched play offensive basketball. Just what was he at?
14.1 a game.
Yeah, 14 a game. Like, can he jump add 3 points to that? I think so. Can he get to around the 17 points? There are a lot of guys who played that had to figure out shooting as it went. And hell, Hall of Famers who've never figured it out. Russ, who never figured it out.
Right.
But could get to the – like, he is a hard dude to stop. Like, yeah, you want him to shoot, he's a hard dude to stop to get to the cup, especially with Jabari and Durant and maybe Reed Shepard on the outside that you can't come off of. So – I think we've seen that. Derrick Rose tried to figure it out. Again, I'm not saying he's those players, but I'm just saying we've seen some guys have to figure out shooting and really maybe never did, but still were able to get to that point. I don't know. I really love the potential here, and I just saw a level of confidence in him that we started to see as the year went on, even in the playoffs. He started off shaky in that series against the Warriors, but by the end of it, you know, he had pretty good confidence.
Dana Brown confidence.
Well, nobody has that. I'm not putting that. Hell, I would. I'd like to bottle some of that in there. Sprinkle a little of that DB confidence in on you. All right, coming up, we've heard the latest on Joe Mixon, and I think it's worth having the discussion. Do we think we've seen the last of Joe Mixon in a Texans jersey? We'll discuss that coming up.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Coming up here in this segment, in a few minutes, we will get T-Mill's best bets. Going a little early with some of the early start games to baseball games he's not going to watch. That's coming up. By the way, another one has gone final. The Detroit Tigers defeated the Guardians 2-1 earlier in a thrilling game that came down to the bottom of the ninth. The Cubs, they win at home game one, 3-1 over the Padres, and they can close out the Padres in game two. By the way, if it makes any of you feel better, Kyle Tucker went 0-3 with a strikeout.
How's his shin?
He's in the playoffs, I guess. All right.
In the lineup.
In the lineup, I guess. He's all right. But they won 3-1 over the Padres game one. Yankees and Red Sox
Alex Bregman making his playoff debut for the Red Sox. Is he not in the lineup?
I haven't checked in the last hour, but reports were it was he was going to miss due to an illness, old Breggy.
Well, I saw him taking BP.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe it's changed.
Yeah, he's third.
Okay.
He's hitting third and playing third. The real AB. Oh, he doesn't pull it out.
He was out there with one of his sleeves cut off, you know, peacocking around, watching his swing on the damn phone. I mean, if he's sick, he's got a strange way of showing it.
Yeah, the
squirts.
The real AB is out there. Yeah, he's been third in tonight's ball game and playing third. So that's coming up here around 5 o'clock. So Tyler wants to get in some of his best bets before that.
Absolutely. Why not?
Why not? Real quick here, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can't always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking things off with a juicy Week 5 matchup between your Houston Texans and the Baltimore Ravens. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And somebody we know that will not be involved in that game, nor any games here in the near future for the Texans, is Joe Mixon. We've got a little bit more clarity there, a little bit of a timeline. Mixon, on July 23rd, was placed on the NFL NFI list in a walking boot, and at that point was expected to be okay. Expected to be back soon. August 25th, Mixon is not activated from the NFI list. So he was guaranteed to miss the first four games as he was placed on the PUP list there. And then weeks leading up to the season, anonymous inside source were telling people that Mixon potentially will miss the whole season, and no real details outside of that. Only thing we heard was it's like a lower ankle injury of some sort. And then yesterday, according to Aaron Wilson, D'Amico Ryan specifically indicated that Joe Mixon is not ready to return at this time, per sources, and it will be longer, if at all, for Mixon to get back on the field this season. And I can't help it, Clinton. I see some people who text in and agree. I don't think that we're going to see Joe Mixon play for the Houston Texans anymore. I get the sense that this is it. The last time we saw him was the Chiefs playoff game. He had one of his better games of the season. This feels like this, as Lovie Smith would say, this marriage is over.
Yeah, it feels like, it sounds like, it looks like. I mean, any way you slice it, it looks like the Joe Mixon run as a Houston Texan is over.
Sometimes divorce is a good thing.
Yeah, look, I think, and that is exactly what it looks like, feels like, and sounds like anytime D'Amico Ryan speaks about Joe Mixon. The way that D'Amico, you can tell there is.
He seems annoyed at times with it.
This is the only player that I've ever like sensed a tone shift like significantly. Almost like he don't care. Almost like I can't say what I want to say, but I want y'all to read between the lines and read my tone here. We hope he's okay. Typically D'Amico is a guy that says, "Oh, he's coming along, man. He's making it. He's ahead of schedule. He's doing some good things, and we hope to have him back." I mean, there is a striking difference. The tone is totally different. The facial expression is different. It is like Lovie Smith just said right there. It is like that he is in the middle of a divorce and can't say anything because the attorneys are discussing how they're going to split things up. It's consuming his time and his effort and his energy, and he's miserable in the middle of it, but he can't speak about it. That is exactly what it sounds like when D'Amico Ryans has to avoid or speak on Joe Mixon. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, Ron. I don't think we see him in a Texans uniform again.
Yeah, it's really about the 69.
I think it's – the more I kind of piece things together and look at what's going on is apparently the NFI list means that it happened off the Texans' watch.
Yep.
There are reports out there that the injury happened as well as some level of treatment on that injury all happened outside Texans' control. And those are grounds, if you want to, if they so choose to pursue it, I believe those are grounds to at least pursue keeping some of that, I think, $9 or $10 million that they're paying him a year this season. So I do wonder, I think it's less about wondering, does he ever play in a Texans uniform again? And I think it's more about,
what are the ramifications off of this? Yep.
Do they just part ways at the end of the year? Or do the Texans look at this as they've been dealt wrong? They've been done wrong, and they can't afford to let players that are making $10 million a year go wherever they want and get treatment, go wherever they want and train and get hurt, and still pay them $10 million a year. Like, what? To me, it's more about how does this divorce happen than it is, are they going to get back in bed together?
Yeah, we haven't even seen him. He's just not been around the entire part of the season.
Not only that, they moved up and drafted a running back in the draft. They made it a point to get him on the field to start the season. They went out and signed the best available running back on the market at that point in time. Once you realize that the Joe Mixon stuff is bad, which was Nick Chubb, which this 1-2 punch of Nick Chubb and Woody Marks is. It looks promising the more they go to that versus the four-man rotation. So, yeah, man, I think all signs are pointing towards him not playing in a Texans uniform again. But as I said, I'm interested in kind of how this divorce happens.
Yeah, what this is, because it's an odd situation that they just don't bring up. All right, T-Mill, let's get these best bets in. You went 3-for-2 yesterday, and not bad. In the green, 60%. What do you got for these games today?
Yeah, keep it going. And the MLB wild card is getting started. Well, it's underway as Ron has laid out. But we got two games that I got bets for. I got four picks for you, and they all pertain to the Red Sox at Yankees, which starts in about a little over 10 minutes. Or the Reds at the Dodgers. Here are your four best bets. If you miss any of them, head to the Twitter at TMillRealDeal. First,
get to it.
Over 7 runs between the Red Sox and the Yankees in the Bronx tonight. I like that one. It's going to be a pitcher's duel. All these first games are going to be that way, but I like over 7 for that one.
I do too.
Red Sox team total in that one. So of the 7 or more that will be scored, Red Sox are going to definitely score at least 3.5 of those. Over 3.5 runs for the Red Sox tonight in the Bronx. These last two are for the Reds-Dodgers game. First, the Reds team total. It is set at a lowly over 2.5 runs. I like that a lot. Reds over 2.5 runs. Surely they can scrape together 3 against the Dodgers tonight. And then Shohei Ohtani for the Dodgers. I'm on over 1.5 total bases for him against the Reds tonight. One of the best players in baseball. Like to think he can get a double. Here we go.
Yeah, I like the Reds team total.
2 singles.
True.
Home run.
He may be liable to get one on out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's leading off. He's going to get a lot of opportunities. I like the Reds 2.5, especially if they can get into the Dodgers bullpen. They're and many times, unless it's Detroit, many times, you know, they go to the bullpen early when it comes to playoff games, and the Dodgers are struggling. They're up there talking about Clayton Kershaw might have to be a setup guy coming out of the bullpen. They're in that space.
Their bullpen.
And so and the Reds, they've been in playoff mode for about a month at this point. So I really like that one. And the Shohei one, man, I mean, that's just easy.
Okay. It feels like easy. Let's money. Keep it going.
Yeah. I don't know about that. At Red Sox Yankees, I can see where you're going with the over on that. Crochet's pretty good. Is that Crochet and Freed, I believe, I would have guessed.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know. Yeah, that one's tricky. But that short porch over there, that just, I don't know, weird stuff happens in playoff games at Yankee Stadium. So there you go. Those are best bets. Go check it out. If you aren't able to get those, go to at TMillRealDeal on Twitter to find out the latest, see if we can get some dubs. All right, coming up, big news coming out of Baltimore that can really change the entire impact of the game on Sunday between the Texans and the Ravens. We'll let you know about that. Playoffs are off and going. The Monday Night Football last night, the big story coming out of that is a gruesome injury to what was going to be potentially the most talked about traded player coming up to the deadline in the NFL. We'll give you the latest on that as we continue right here live on The Drive.